Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com.
Today we have the great opportunity to learn about online customer service. That is how online self-service, virtual agents, email, social media, etc., can help companies provide service and support, increase sales, and reduce operational costs, as well as improve customer satisfaction. I'm interviewing Diane Clarkson, who is an analyst with Forrester Research. And when Diane spoke at the eTail conference a few weeks ago about social customer service, I was quite intrigued. And so I wanted to talk with her more and give you, my listeners, a chance to learn more about this promising new development. So welcome, Diane.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Great. Thank you so much for spending a few moments with me today. Let's jump right into it and start with, what is social customer service?
Yeah, I think that's a question that a lot of people are asking right now. And what we're finding is that it's evolving pretty quickly. But we've seen sort of three different ways that companies are going about using social media to provide customer service. They can either use it as a way to facilitate customers helping each other. So this is something that we would typically see when it's a peer-to-peer support or a support forum.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're seeing social media being used to resolve the customer service issue. Most commonly we will see that with Twitter. So Comcast Cares on Twitter is a really good example of that, where the social media's primary purpose actually is the resolution of the customer service issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing that we're seeing evolving is redirecting. And that's when a company detects that there's a customer complaint out there, a customer issue, and they will have somebody contact that person through the social media, but redirect them to a different channel that's going to be more appropriate for resolution.
I see. So it takes many different forms, really.
It does. It depends on the company's overall social strategy. It depends on what consumers are doing around that brand in social media. So if, for example, you're a company that has very complex products where your customers have some shared issues, and you have enough volume around your brand in the social space that you know there are people there talking about you,
mm-hmm.
Then a support forum might be something that's really worthwhile to consider doing. If you don't meet those requirements, then a support forum may not be the first thing on your list of social media to do, but you might be able to start looking at possibly some redirecting
mm-hmm.
Strategies, for example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, this sounds kind of like an add to existing customer service programs that companies may have. And so I guess, you know, as if I were a business leader thinking about this, I would want to know, you know, why should I do this? What does this help me do that I'm not already doing?
Yeah, and that's a good question, because I think what often happens is that people get very excited about what's new and shiny, and it can
mm-hmm.
be distracting, and then we want to do it, and then we sort of backfill our objectives. And that's not the ideal situation, particularly in something that's going to be very visible, like social media. I think it depends on what your objectives are before you determine why you should do it. So, for example, if your objective is to help your customers help each other, maybe what your objective is to maintain or augment an online knowledge base that's changing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And by bringing in consumer input into a forum, you'd be able to do that. Perhaps your objective is more around branding and buzz favorability. And so with that, you're finding that there's a lot of complaints out there in the social sphere, and you want to be able to interject to be able to resolve those problems and hopefully turn a negative into a positive. Then you'd start looking at a different tactic
mm-hmm.
that would be more aligned with those objectives. But overall, what companies are telling us is that they're finding, in terms of, sort of typical business metrics that there are increases in brand favorability. We're seeing deflecting calls to a call contact center
mm-hmm.
or to live help,
mm-hmm.
Which, of course, is good for both customer service satisfaction and also good for operational costs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also seeing companies report things such as being able to augment knowledge bases, being able to detect customer service issues and head them off,
mm-hmm.
Mitigate the impact that that would have had on other customer service channels. So there's certainly a broad range of business benefits. The most important thing to do is make sure that the objectives are very clear for any company who's looking at getting into this space, because that's going to help define which tactics are going to be most appropriate to be successful.
Right, right. And so I guess that's what you were talking about in your presentation. You talked about you would recommend that companies develop an internal purpose statement. So I guess that's what you're referring to here, is some sort of guiding statement that talks about what they're hoping to get out of this.
Yeah, absolutely, because I think that a lot of social media has started in marketing departments or public relations.
Mm-hmm.
Has a very close tie to those areas. But a customer service objective can introduce new challenges, because from a customer service perspective, success means something different
mm-hmm.
than what it might mean from a marketing objective. So,
mm-hmm.
for example, marketers are going to look at things like shift and buzz sentiment.
Mm.
Customer service social objectives are going to look at things like reducing problem resolution time
mm.
or deflecting email and chat sessions. So it's really important that the two areas are very clear in terms of understanding what the objectives are, how they're going to measure it, and how they're going to work together to be able to achieve this. And an internal statement can be very helpful because, for example, one of the examples that I would use would be if you have a community and its primary purpose is for support. You're using it to facilitate your customers helping each other out from a customer support perspective. That's going to guide decisions then around, should we send a coupon out
mm-hmm.
to this community?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not, because that's not consistent with its purpose.
Right.
Should we do something that's very public relations oriented to our support community? Probably not. Similarly, if you have a Twitter channel and it's meant to be for customer support only, that's going to help define some of your objectives as well. Are you going to send a coupon code out on
mm-hmm.
a channel that you're using primarily for support?
Mm-hmm.
You may not choose to do that. You may look at alternative channels to do that in, because you're going to find that when you're blurring those lines, you actually are going to be compromising some of your ability to achieve some of your support objectives.
Right, right. So you really need to have that clarity to guide those specific decisions that you make as you're executing down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you have the focus team together and start off and launch something, it's a little bit easy for some of that clarity to dissipate over time. Having
right.
a very clear objective statement or internal statement is something that brings people back to what exactly are we trying to do here, and is what I'm suggesting going to be on the same page as that, or is it going to conflict with that?
Right, right. And actually, that's a nice segue, and you had said something about this a little bit a few minutes ago, just about, I guess, some of the internal organizational issues that need to be addressed when doing social customer service. I mean, it seems to me that multiple groups are going to be involved, and they must collaborate and kind of agree on what the purpose is and those guiding principles. And one single group may not even own it, I guess. I guess, curious, any suggestions for how to deal with these organizational issues, how to organize for it, any best practices in terms of overcoming some of the internal issues that may arise?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're completely right that this is a moving target for a lot of companies. So, a year or two ago, people would think, okay, well, let's just put up a Twitter account and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're at the point where understanding, okay, people are coming to us and they're needing resolution. And the person who's sitting in public relations responding to our Twitter account may not have the skills or the knowledge or the access into our customer service technology to be able to answer some of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're almost at the beginning of the next generation where people are looking at some of these things in terms of more broadly organization-wide objectives. And the first part of that is to put together the team of people that are going to be involved in this from the beginning, and that's going to include customer service, marketing, branding, governance, mm-hmm. sales, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a really focused team of people who can bring to the table their different objectives and goals and really make a more part of this a more robust strategy. I think the next thing that each of these groups needs to look at is how they're going to align what they're doing with metrics that support their objectives. Mm-hmm. Often we see companies sort of start experimenting, and then they're not sure how to tell if it was a success. Mm-hmm. Very often we'll see branding kind of backfilled as an objective, so it's important to get that clear from the beginning. That makes everybody understand what they're looking at, what they're trying to achieve. And then it becomes important to be able to map some of the technology requirements. And this isn't just for customer service. This is going to be across all different types of social media, but really being able to understand who needs access to what support system, mm-hmm. What needs to be integrated so that we can really leverage what we're doing and the intelligence that we're getting out of this mm-hmm. into a larger overall strategy.
Yeah, it seems like that technology integration is important not only for the customer or the user point of view, but particularly on the back end internally in terms of how are you going to, you know, make sure that this information is shared and is integrated into your other, you know, knowledge databases. And it seems to be like there's a whole kind of back end technological integration that needs to happen to really make this work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think companies that are doing it well are able to really take advantage of a broader range of successes. So they're being able to have their successes go broadly across the entire organization. So mm-hmm. then they're able to get into things like ideation, product issues,
yeah.
Multi-channel issues. And by having the technology base that will integrate appropriately, it's really kind of fighting the battle with all guns blazing. You're going to get the most out of it. By doing this in piecemeal, the results are going to be possibly very positive, but they're still going to be piecemeal.
Right, right. So now, it seems like customer adoption of social customer service is probably pretty low at this point. I mean, is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, it is, and there's a few reasons why. I mean, first of all, it does skew a little bit younger, not as much as people might think, but mm-hmm. there is, you know, generally a skew to Gen X and Gen Y.
Mm-hmm.
For many companies, those are the bulk of their customer segment or their most valuable customers. So it's a mistake to think of this as something that only 18-year-olds are doing. We do tend to see Gen X and Gen Y behaving similarly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the first thing for people to realize. The adoption is a little bit low because most companies don't have a lot happening right now in social customer service.
Mm-hmm.
So there aren't a lot of forums out there. And a forum isn't appropriate for every company, but there are a lot of companies that are still trying to figure out if they're going to go there.
Right.
Basically, a lot of customers just haven't stumbled across the forums yet.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of Twitter, unless you're actively on Twitter, a lot of companies aren't promoting that they have Twitter as a channel. Mm-hmm. There are some exceptions to that. Xbox is one. Rogers Cable in Canada is another. We're starting to see companies put Contact Us page include Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, companies are a little under the radar on that, too. We're going to start seeing that shift going forward, and it's going to be critical that companies have some strategy in place because they need to be able to provide support and service to their customers wherever their customers are asking for that support
right.
and service.
Right. Yeah, that's the expectation, right? and
yeah, I think it will increasingly be so.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's only going to get, the expectation is only going to get higher, I think, and broader to more people. Yeah. Well, great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Diane, this has been wonderful. Thank you for introducing this idea of social customer service to me and to my listeners. I think you know, it's an area that, as we just talked about, is going to be growing, and so it's really important to get your perspective. For my listeners, I want to let you know that there's a lot more to learn about this. If you go to Forrester's website, it's just forrester.com, you can actually just search for Diane Clarkson, and you'll be able to learn more about her so you can access her profile. and some of her latest research reports, and there's just lots of really good information on there that I encourage you to check out. So, Diane, thank you again for sharing with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Denise. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care and thanks again.